Thanks, guys. You're kind. Yeah, take your chairs. Wow. Hey, you guys have watched some YouTubes. That song wasn't an accident, that last one. Somebody played their own purpose, didn't you? I've said plenty of times from the pulpit, that's my favorite song to come up on the heels of. And when I heard him play it, I said, well, I know this is the last one. You didn't know that? You just played that? See, I needed to know that. I was sitting there, I said, Lord, did they know that? That's why I asked it. You just played that? It's my absolute, out of all the amazing songs out there, it's my favorite song to come up to, because who knows that he deserves all the glory. Here's what gets me in that song. From you are all things, and to you are all things. See, the truth is, we are what we are by the grace of God. Like, nobody has anything unless it's been given. And we can honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, a righteous man in the name of a righteous man. But who knows that we wouldn't have righteousness if he didn't afford it. A prophet wouldn't see if he didn't let you. Nobody has a thing unless it's been given, and he deserves all the glory. Amen. Actually, the Bible says there's no boasting in men. I'm a firm believer of this, that there's no real super Christian on the earth. I just believe we're going to be found that we were believers. If people think you were an amazing Christian, it's because you believed him. Yeah? And we're just going to be guilty of believing him. So if I stand before the Lord and I get guilty of believing him, everything else will fall in place. Amen. So, yay. I'm glad to be here. They asked to pray for the sick tonight. They said, can we do a healing service? So I think y'all called it a healing service. But we usually pray for the sick on Fridays when I travel. So I say, hey, that all works, because we pray for the sick most of the time on a Friday night anyway. But I'm going to talk about a few things, and then we'll talk about healing a little bit, and we'll go ahead and pray for the sick. Does that sound good to you? Yeah? Yeah. And honestly, you know, I said that about, you know, from him are all things into it. It doesn't mean you can't appreciate people and thank people for believing, for stewarding a gift, for becoming what he paid for. Your time spent in the word, that kind of thing. You can appreciate that. But let's just realize that we would have nothing if it wasn't for him. Amen? So let's just roll with this thing. Let me just jump in. There's some things I want to say on my heart to get everybody on the same page. Like, we have to understand as believers, do you ever notice how many different churches are out there, right? And it's all in the sea of what we call Christian. And a lot of us are fighting each other and saying, well, some aren't really Christians, some aren't right, we're right, they're not right. Here's what we got to understand in this room. You can call yourself anything you want, but make sure you believe the gospel. And here's what the deal is. If you look in the Bible, you'll see that God made man with intention. That God made man with purpose. He's not happenstance. Man's not just here because he's a side thought. He's intentional, and he was made with a purpose and an intention from God. He said, let us make man for our... You can find it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image. And the very next verse says, so in the likeness and image of God, he made man both male and female. So you can find that man was made for God's image. Now, that has nothing to do with how we look. If you look around the room, we all look drastically different. Yeah? It's talking about who God is. In fact, if you look in Scripture, God doesn't have a body. He had to give Jesus one. God's spirit. God's a spirit. So he's not a arms and legs and a torso and a head. He's a spirit. So he gave us a body to house what's on the inside and to manifest. This body is to act out the inside. You know them by their fruits. Yeah? So your body's not a curse. It's a tool to manifest what's on the inside. Are you with me? The fact that we all look different means that image has nothing to do with appearance. Isn't that cool? So we ought to stop trying to look like each other and start looking like him. Come on, we put a lot of time looking at what we think is the most acceptable appearance and then trying to look like that. I mean, some people are on their fourth nose, third set of lips. Man, if we put that much effort and energy in becoming more like him, we'd transform the world, probably. It's cool. Usually I pull somebody out of the audience that's a different ethnic background to me, race, color, somebody that looks totally drastically different to me, and I'll get them up here and I'll say, hey, are you ever going to mix us up in a room? Are you going to get to know us and say, call us each other and say, oh, I get you two mixed up all the time. And everybody gets a chuckle out of it because I pick somebody that you could never mistake for me. And the truth would be that that person looks nothing like me. You're not going to mix us up, but we can both look like him. Amen. And that's what makes us one. And in the 28 years I've been saved, this is what I found out. There's a whole lot of messages out there. There's a whole lot of reasons people say they're Christian. There's some people that just don't want to go to hell. They want to make sure they go to heaven, so they pray a prayer called the Sinner's Prayer so they can get their name in a book called Life, which is in Scripture. There's people that are going through a hard time and they're just looking for God to fix that. There's people going through a rough time in their marriage. They're hoping God saves their marriage. There's somebody that just got laid off. They come to God. Sometimes we come to God for a lot of different reasons. But what's so important is at some point, I mean, come to God, right? But at some point, you got to align to why he sent his son and why he invited you to come. I've learned that so many people come for blessing and for what they can get from God. They come for provision. They come for protection. They come just hoping life goes better. Yeah? See, the room's strange and quiet right now. I can feel about half of the people saying, well, ain't that why you come to God? You come to God for new life. To get restored back to that which he intended, because sin cost us that truth. And we got pulled away from that truth. And every man after Adam's sin was born into Adam, not into God. So none of us were born knowing him. None of us were born outside of a self-centered motive. Every one of us had an identity crisis. And not one of us had a clue who we were. And we thought we were finding out along the way through people. At a very young age, you needed valued, appreciated, noticed, supported, protected. Everyone in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, at a very young age, you had huge insecurities. You were very self-conscious and very aware of your needs. And a lot of times, people at a very young age believe they're no more and turn out to be no more than how they responded to how life unfolded. That's why people talk about their story so much. That's why people live in the past so much. That's why people are 40 still talking about what it was like when they were growing up. Because they were those years that seemed to form them and mold them and shape them into whatever it is they're walking out to be. But see, Jesus wants to give you new life. Jesus wants you to put off the old and put on the new. He wants old things to pass away and new things to come. He wants you to put your hand to the plow and never even look back. Paul said, I'm going to apprehend knowing him. I haven't arrived yet. I'm getting to know him, but I don't know him like I could. But there's one thing I do to make sure I'm going to know him. Just one thing, not one of two, one thing. I forget what lies behind. See, we have to understand that even though You have a memory, a history. There's people in your past that are important that we seem to tend to honor. You're not doing those people injustice when you look away from your past. You can never find yourself through how life has been. You can only find your life through him and yourself through him. How can that possibly be true? Because in that former life, you had a different motive than you have in Christianity. I don't know if you understand this, but to be a Christian, you have to learn what it means to deny yourself. You can't just get saved to go to heaven. You deny yourself. Why do you deny yourself? Because you were never made for you. You were made for his image. See, when Adam sinned and got separated from the source of life and the source of love, he got needy. He became in need of love. Instead of being love, he needed love. Why? He was separated from love. So when I look at my Bible, God made me for his image, and God is love. Everybody in this room has needed love, and unfortunately, sometimes we get saved, we pray a prayer to go to heaven, and we have that same need. That's why we're hurt by each other. That's why we're broken. That's why people fight and struggle with unforgiveness. That's why emotions seem to be a whirlwind. Because when we come to Christ, we don't settle the most important thing, my motive in life. Am I living for his kingdom? Am I seeking first his kingdom? Am I living for his glory? Am I living for his great name? Or am I coming to him for my well-being? So many people get tricked into coming to God for what he can do for them, and they miss becoming something because of him. And all of a sudden, they have a new belief, but a same motive. They have a new belief, but the same needs. That's why God can be so good, and yet somebody else can dictate who you are and how you're doing. That's why you can let one man or one woman or one incident determine who you are and how you are in a moment, but it has nothing to do with them. If we deny ourselves, takes care of everything. See, I'm going to try to hold it together and talk about it for a little bit. Because I've been very free for a while from one thing, living for me. And you're not free unless you're free from living for you. Because that's where worry, discouragement, frustration, fear of man, self-consciousness, insecurity, low esteem, anxiety, all those things come from a self-centered wellspring. When you're living to survive, you're never sure you're okay. When you're living for tomorrow to be better than today, you got more concerns than you can carry. And you've never lived for his great name. You've just lived to get by. We're not stuffing emotions. We're not trying to harness our emotions. We're getting a brand new life and a brand new motive and a brand new reason for being. And I want to talk to you about that just for a little bit before we pray for the sick tonight. Because if that doesn't change, I have the message of him saving me and forgiving me, but I'm still the same person with the same mentality, the same needs, the same emotions, and the same motives. But my Bible says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In fact, new creation means a species of being that we've never seen before. It's a species of being that's never existed before now. So I can't bring new wine into an old wineskin. Or the wineskin will crack and the wine will be spilled out. That's why people have highs and lows. That's why people say they always need to keep getting filled up because we have cracks and we leak. You're not supposed to leak through cracks. You're supposed to leak on people. If Jesus wasn't selfless, he'd have never made it past his first sermon. He's preaching. They think he's amazing initially. They're like, you got authority. Nobody spoke like this. Who is this guy? Where did he come from? A minute later, they're like, is he talking about us? Yeah, I think he's talking about us. Kill him. And they try to push him off a cliff. And then you go home. How'd it go today, son? Well, pretty good. I think I sowed some seeds. Well, they tried to kill him. But he's already dead to him. He's here for them. And he doesn't know how to say, well, forget them. If they can't appreciate me, they don't even know who I am. Nothing was made that wasn't made for me. I hold all things together by the word of my power, and they're going to treat me like that? See, Jesus made himself of no reputation. He became a servant to the point of death, even death on a cross. We're supposed to have the same mind in us that he had in him. Now, a lot of people say that's not even possible, but that's religion talking. Jesus said, follow me. It must be possible. He gave us the same spirit that raised him from the dead to quicken our mortal bodies. What's impossible with man is possible with God, and all things are possible with God, and all things are possible to them that believe. And Jesus said, if you believe in me, the things I do, you'll do. And greater things because I go to my Father. See, I'm just stirring you to think about the gospel tonight and believe that. And say, okay, why am I a believer? Why am I a Christian? Because if you're not a Christian for that reason, your life won't have impact this way and you'll never be free even this way. Circumstances will decide you. Life will always speak louder than truth, and you'll only be doing as good as life is going. And you're always praying for life to get better instead of you to grow up into Him in all things. See, when you squeeze an orange, what do you get? Orange juice. Why? Because you squeezed an orange. That's not deep. Why isn't it strange? Because it would be very strange if you squeezed an orange and got apple juice. If you did that in the kitchen in the morning, fresh squeezed orange, you put it to your mouth and it was apple, you'd spit it right in the cup. Because your brain knows it was orange. That would be strange to squeeze an orange and get apple juice. Why isn't it strange when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Boy, that should be strange. Wonder if the enemy's on to something. Wonder if he says, hey, there's so many versions of the gospel out there. I'll just squeeze them and see which one they believe. I'll see if they're a Christian for them and their sake or for his name's sake. I'll take a risk. I think I can break them. I realize if they're a believer, I'll help make them and empower them. But I think they're probably in it for them. I'll just squeeze them a little. And then because you're in it for you, you don't recognize where the squeezings come from. So you look at God and say, why are you letting all this happen to me? God, what did I do wrong? What door did I open? What are you trying to teach me? And the whole time it has nothing to do with the Lord. It has to do with the enemy playing on your lack of understanding. Because my people are destroyed for the lack of... Wow. Let's get the most important thing straight in the room tonight before we pray for sickness in people's bodies. Let's make sure we're coming after him for the right reason. I'm not saying you're not. This isn't correction. This is encouragement. Let's make sure you're a Christian for the right reason, to seek first his kingdom, to walk in the light as he's in the light. 1 John 2 says, if any man says he abides in him, he ought to walk even as Jesus walked. Religion says there's no way that's possible, but scripture says you ought to be living that way. See, we've got tricked into following our own example, and our own example is Adam separated from God. We've studied a fallen man, and we say this is us. We're supposed to be following Jesus, not our resume. Well, yeah, but everybody has their moments, brother. Why are you following everybody? Show me Jesus's moments. Show me when he was discouraged and didn't want to face the people, when he was tired of them thronging him, when they really didn't care about what he had to say, when he's carrying a cross, getting beat by men. Show me where he just dropped it and gave up, and there was a straw that broke his back, that canceled love. That Jesus said, follow me, not just sing to me and pray when your list is there. Follow me. And the things I do, you'll do if you believe. See, this is exciting to me. Let it be exciting to you. I did not drive here to correct you and say you're doing anything wrong. I want to call you into what he paid for, because that's the most exciting thing in your life. That's when you find grace. That's when you're not self-conscious anymore and self-focused. See, there is such a weak idea of Christianity that I've run into for 28 years that God's just here to bless us, protect us, and provide for us. So we buy every promise book that fits those categories till we get it right and see all those eggs in our basket. And if something's not in the basket, we are striving to get that answered. And then our whole focus is on us getting something from him, instead of becoming something because of him. So we're still frustrated with our boss. We still want another job because we can't stand working beside Jimmy. Yeah. All of a sudden we don't even know how to have compassion on our boss. Because if he really loved God and was filled with him, he wouldn't be acting that way. And all of a sudden we don't even know how to have mercy. We just know how to get frustrated. And all of a sudden we don't even know how to have compassion, just judgment. When the one we worship said, forgive them, they don't even know what they're doing. Amen. See, the whole goal, 1 Timothy 1:5 of our instruction, is love. The whole goal of Christianity is love. It comes out of a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. The whole reason we're on the planet is to love, not need it, be it. Because God is love, and he made man for his image. I could turn to it. I could show you. It's Colossians chapter 3. It's verse 10. We should put off the old man and his deeds. Never again lie to one another, because we've put off the old man and his deeds. We've put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Colossians. I could show you 2 Corinthians. It says we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. I could show you 2 Peter. Let's do 2 Peter. I could do 2 Peter chapter 1. We have exceedingly great and precious promises through which or by which we partake of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. The word lust has nothing to do with pornography there. It's self-centered, unsatisfiable desire. So I got born again. I received his divine nature, came out of darkness into the light, escaping the corruption that's driving men through self-centered living. You have to make sure you're not a Christian for you. It never works. I've never seen a blessed Christian that's living for themselves. They're up and down, high and low, in and out, and they never make traction. Why? Because life will strip them away. Circumstances will eat them alive. Words will carry weight outside of Jesus' words. If you're a Christian for you, you are not having the time of your life. You are very self-focused. All your prayers have to do with you getting something from him instead of becoming something because of him. How else are we going to walk in the light as he's in the light? Come on, it has to be possible, or scripture wouldn't say. Well, nobody can walk in the light. He said to walk in the light. I could show you in the Gospels where he looked at his guys and said, you're the light of the world.
Well, I thought you were the light of the world, Jesus.
I am. And I'm in you, and I'm going to the Father, so light it up. Let your light so shine before men so they see the life you're living, not the messages you're preaching, the life you're living. And then they glorify the Father. That's a Christian. You'll never do that if you're a Christian for your own sake. If you're just a Christian so you don't go to hell, that's what we preach all over the world. If you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer. And we make the gospel continually serve us and maybe never transform us. The self-centeredness of fallen man has crept into the message. And the motive for getting born again isn't because I've been living separate from God with a different motive than he created me for. He said, if any of you are going to follow me, I need you to deny yourself. Pick up your and follow. What's pick up your cross? It means don't ever let sin against you produce sin in you. Don't ever repay evil for evil. Amen. Overcome evil with good. Amen. Walk in love. Ephesians 5:1. Walk in love just as Jesus loved. Not somewhat like, not close to, not as good as you can. Just like he loved and gave himself a sweet, fragrant aroma unto God. That's scripture. I could show you 1 John chapter 3. It says if you have this hope of eternal life and this hope of seeing him someday, and the more you see him, the more we'll be like him, right? It says anyone that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Not somewhat like. But you can't hardly preach that today in church because we've so learned ourselves through ourselves that we're following ourselves and not him. So the biggest line we get today as preachers is, well, brother, you got to keep it real. I'm keeping it real because he's the one from the beginning. There's nobody more real than him. He was here before us. And nothing was made that wasn't made through him. He's not a truth. He's not a good idea. He's the truth. And he was, and he is, and he is to come. You talk about keeping it real? Let's preach Jesus. We're not following each other. We're following him. And he's the head of all power and all principality. And it says, we're complete in him. You think about the language, keep it real. Come on, brother, don't get high and spiritual. Keep it real. Stay relatable. We're relatable if we're following Jesus, because that's what we're on the earth for. That's why the church hasn't experienced the freedom he paid for, because we're still caught up in ourselves. It's still about us. That's why a simple word, somebody you put expectation on, all of a sudden breaks your heart. You get married, finding your identity through your marriage, but it ain't working out that way, and now you're devastated and broken. It could cripple you for the rest of your life, and you still feel the need to be somebody. You could be married again and again and again. If you never get that straight, next thing you know, you're just bitter and angry, and marriage don't even work. See, marriage is I love you, not I need you. Marriage never works when there's need in the middle. Christianity never works when there's need in the middle. So I love you, not do you love me. Jesus didn't come and say, I love you, do you love me? He'd be a very insecure savior. No, he just came and said, love you. And that's all he said. And if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. And then this other motive creeps in, and all of a sudden it's all about us and getting saved and going to heaven and getting blessed and getting provided for. What about Paul? He said, there's times I don't even have enough, but I don't change. Everything's the same. I'm content no matter what state I'm in, because I know why I'm here now, and I know why he's in me. Whew. I could show you scripture that says discouragement is never Christian. I could show you scripture that says grumbling and complaining is never Christian. I got scripture on it all. I read the book. But you can hardly preach it because you ain't keeping it real, because everybody's discouraged. Well, maybe we're following everybody. And because we're following everybody, we're not receiving the grace to be changed and made more like him. Maybe we ought to get back to following him, because I don't see an ounce of discouragement in him. I mean, they beat him for his words, people. He's the truth. He's not speaking a good idea. He's the truth, and they killed him for his words. And he doesn't change. Why? Because he's Jesus? Because he's love. If he doesn't change because he's Jesus, then we can't follow him. If he doesn't change because he's love, now we're all in. And the goal of our instruction is love. He said, I give you a new commandment, but you had it from the beginning. Love one another. Not be mad, bicker, backbite, manipulate, use. Love one another. For God so. Aren't you glad it doesn't say he was so burned out by men and frustrated and at wit's end he finally sent his son? So here's God, who is love, looking at humanity for generations and all the things we've done, saying one thing, doing another, going off the deep end, living in darkness. Paul said, it's a shame to even speak of the things people do in secret. Well, once you get to know the Lord, you'll realize there's no such thing as secret. Relationship with him is transforming. When you get to know him, you're changed. Why? Because he's always with you. If I hung out with you 24/7 and never left your side, there's things you'd never even consider doing just because I'm with you. Wonder if you develop that with Jesus. And you realize you're never alone. Watch what he says in 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because love is of God. And everyone, not some, not most, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Watch. He who loveth not doesn't know God. So the barometer, according to scripture, of knowing him is your love. Amen. Not your commitment, not your service. Not how many mission trips you go on, and not how much you give to the poor. Amen. The measuring stick of actually knowing him, not believing on his name, knowing him, intimacy, co-union, communion, my friend, my father, my Lord. The barometer scripturally of knowing him is your love. He said, if you don't love, you don't know him. He doesn't say you don't pastor. He didn't say you don't go on mission trips. He didn't say you don't serve in the church. But he did say there's one reason. If you don't love, it's because you don't know him. See, I love those sermons. I love the one reason. Because if he gave me one of three, now I have to do inventory. Which tells me I can't know him without being changed by him. Like, I can't have intimacy without becoming more like him. He wants to impregnate me with who he is, so who he is the manifestation of my life. Why? Because he made man for his image and gave him a body to fulfill that image, to express it, right? To fulfill his intention till the whole earth is filled with his glory. That's why the psalmist said, what is it about man that you're so mindful of this guy? That you would visit him, that you would give him dominion over the works of your hands, that you would make him your crowning creation and glory. What's up with man? Till the whole earth be full of his glory. We're waiting on him. He's waiting on us to step into everything he paid for. But to do that, you have to give up you. Why is that hard? You were never made for you anyway. Why is it so hard to give up the lie to obtain the truth? Why have we become so accustomed with me, myself, and I when most of us don't even like me, myself, and I when it comes right down to it? All he's asking us to give is what we were never created to be. Just understand this. When you were born from your mother through your daddy, you have a father that goes way back before that who saw your day before it was seen. He said, call no man on earth your father. You have one father. He's in heaven. That means there's a time to be born. And it happened before your dad went into your mother. Whether you know them or not, whether the circumstance was cool or not, he's the author and giver of life. And if life came, it was your time. 500 million sperm cells race into one egg, one destination. Only one can be the winner. You said you never won anything. You won the greatest race of your life. And it wasn't even a race. It was staged. It was set. It wasn't even a race. The other millions had no chance because he knew you before you were known. You were predestined before time to be adopted in as a son and a daughter. And then we want to believe our life's an accident, should have never been born, nobody cares. No. Suicidal thoughts hitting people at rampant pace at young ages and all through life. Why? Because of this big war between dark and light. And what it keys on is self-centeredness. Darkness keys on self-centeredness because it has such an advantage if it can just get men to stay self-centered and still go to church. Let them fill churches. Just make sure they don't shine. Let them do all-night worship. Just make sure they don't know how to truly love one another. Make sure their marriages have unresolved conflicts, that their children grow up believing Christianity is nothing but hypocrisy. Let them go to church. We'll just make sure they don't shine and we'll play on the selfish motive because they haven't surrendered that. They've just wanted him to bless. Come on, I know that sounds intense, but it's real. Amen. Jesus said, there's one thing you need to do to follow him and it's deny yourself. We don't preach that. We think that's legalistic. Are you kidding? That's a gift. You mean I can get rid of me? I can give up me living for me? See, it's the biggest problem on the planet. It's not the presidency. It's not racial conflict. It's not war. The biggest problem on the planet is that every day people wake up and live for themselves when they're made for God's image. It's perverse. There's nobody in this room that was made for you. You were made for him and his glory. And he said the only way you'll ever know that and experience that and manifest that is if you deny yourself. and realize you were never made for you. You were made for his great name. So that changes things. That changes why I'm alive now. So for 28 years, I've been very passionate. I think it's increased. I've just learned how to harness it and communicate. But you can see I'm very passionate. I'm playing it very cool tonight. I'm on my best behavior. I really am. I'm doing pretty good. I'm way more fired up on the inside than you see. But I know you see passion. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was me not living for me anymore. And it changed the motive in my life. So when I wake up, I didn't wake up for you to love me. I didn't wake up to need you or you to need me. I woke up to be more like him. I realized mercy gave me one more day to be more like my father. And there's nothing you can do to change that, see? I built that in my understanding of my heart by reading the word. I see it. If I wake up and need you to be something for me to be okay, I'm subject to you. I'm only as good as you're doing me. If I'm married for the same reason, I'm only as good as my wife is being a wife. And now it's compatibility and 50-50 and a lot of work. Oh no, that's the wretched belief in the church. We're marrying for our own sake. We're not marrying to lay down our life and bring the best out in someone, connect with that one to be one, to manifest a greater view of the Father in synergism where one plus one is a greater one. We're getting married in romance. We're getting married in lust urges. We're getting married in need. Having two children and say we fell out of love? Come on, I'm not condemning you. I'm saying let's change that. You could be on your third marriage. You're not condemned. Let's change that. Let's get a grip on something's wrong. Something ain't right. It's empowering a tendency in a scenario that doesn't reveal his glory. You're not condemned. You could be on your third marriage. No one's condemning you. What I'm saying is make sure this thing ain't about you. People say, well, I put up walls, well, I'm protecting myself. No, if you're protecting yourself, he's not your rock and defense. He's my rock and defense. What defends me? The truth. If I'm guarding something, I'm overrun. You say, well, I don't want to let people get too close because I've been hurt so many times. I've been burned. You're not following Jesus. You're following common knowledge, way that seems right to man, human psychology, and track record. Amen. And the fact that you're trying to defend and guard means you're living hurt every day. Amen. Suspect and judgmental and suspicious. So you're in bondage every minute of every day, and you think you're protected. So it's all about you, but we sing it's all about him. Are you guys all right? This is a great healing service. Healing service. Woo! Let's just get healed. Spirit, soul. I found this in 1 Thessalonians 5. Spirit, soul, and body blameless till he comes. Well, brother, that's impossible. Read and believe your Bible. Woo! The goal of our instructions, love. I'm just going to say it plain. If we fail to become love, we will never step into the reason God put his son on the cross. He put his son on the cross to get his image and nature back inside of us, not to take us to heaven when we die. Eternal life is knowing him. You get eternal life when you get relationship restored with the eternal one. We're not waiting to go to a destination. His kingdom's here and it's in us. Come on, it's so impersonal. We prayed a prayer to go to heaven when we die. No, heaven wants to come into us while we live. So you can go preach saying, the kingdom of God is here. Where is it? You're looking at it. Well, that's blasphemy. That's scripture. Why do you think we lay hands on the sick? If God was going to heal just because God was going to heal, he wouldn't need you to lay no hands on sick. Why would he need you to pray the prayer of faith? If God was sovereign and everything that happens is the will of God, you'd have no power of death and life in your tongue. Nobody'd be getting destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because whatever will be, que sera, sera. But that ain't scripture. We're major players. Major players. Told you to not fear. Told you don't worry. He said to walk in a manner worthy. He told you not to be unaware of the devil's devices and give him no place. He gave you authority in the power of the name of Jesus. He said there's power of death and life in your tongue. He said men will reap what they... What's that have to do with the sovereign will of God? Sounds like we're one with him, that he made us with intention, and he's done his part, and he's waiting for us to believe. And if we're not careful, this self-centered message creeped in. And we're all Christians for our own sake, to survive, to get through, to get by. No, you're a Christian to shine. Amen. You're a Christian to shine. If you're the light of the world, lights shine. Nobody lights a lamp and puts a bushel over it. So the whole reason you're a Christian is to shine. If you're not pursuing shining, you're not even pursuing why he's in you. Come on, that's not harsh at scripture. It's actually good news, because it'll keep you from carrying all that unnecessary care. The greatest thing we can do is just die already to everything we've ever been, so who he is can be alive in us. I could show you Colossians 3. It says, if you've been raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated. Set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ with God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, you'll appear with him in glory. Woo! I read this stuff. But you know what else? I believe it. You ain't buying me out with nothing. I am not for sale. I've been bought with a price, and I'm not my own. You ain't gonna talk me into that. Well, you gotta keep it real. You gotta relate. Everybody has their issues, brother. Ask Jesus if he has his issues. See, I'm not following you and your issues. I'm following Jesus, looking unto him, my author and my perfecter. I can't start looking at him and then look back at you. I can only find truth through him. I'm sure not gonna find truth through our experience, people. Why? Because everyone in this room, including me, grew up with a self-centered motive in our life by default through the fall of man. You were born into self-centeredness. The first thing you learned how to do is go, no, mine. No. You know I'm telling the truth. God didn't do that. You didn't have to go to school to learn that. You didn't stay up late to master frustration. You had a 4.0 at birth. Two little ones. The toy's laying there. They're playing. The other one don't even want the toy until the other one touches it. You know I'm telling the truth. And as soon as they touch it, they drop their toy and try to grab that one from them. Now there's a war. Now children. Boom. You're telling me God made that and did that? God didn't teach that. It's by instinct, nature. It's called the fall of man. It's life apart from God. You say, well, God gave us emotions, brother. Where did you get that? Because what you're trying to do is justify your own. God didn't give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you them, and they all function out of a self-centered wellspring. That's why they're loco. That's why our emotions are, you can't, they're schizophrenic. Why? All your emotions came out of a self-centered wellspring. You got to deny yourself. Love not your own life unto death. Consider not your own. If you're alive because he lived, you should live for him who died and never again live for yourself. You were bought with a price and your life's not your... If our life's not our own, how could we possibly be a Christian for our sake? That means we have to be a Christian for his sake. That means when I'm squeezed, Christ has to come out. That means I don't have the same options I had anymore. Frustration isn't on the table. Unforgiveness isn't something I'm hashing through saying, give me time, brother. Things take time. In the world you lived in apart from Jesus. But when you understand you've been forgiven of everything you've ever done and washed clean as if you've never done it, and you stand before God holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight, Colossians 1. Woo! If you ever receive that and believe that you're clean, you will want to forgive everybody for the rest of your life. Why? Because you're forgiven. Now, if it's just theological, positional, theory, there was a servant in Matthew 18, a debt he couldn't pay. That's our sin. Master had mercy, didn't he? He didn't sell him out, did he? Redeemed him and his whole family. Who knows the story? He went out and choked his fellow servant for 500 bucks. If you do the math back in the 90s, the math was 500 bucks. He choked his fellow servant and threw him in prison. Word got back to the master. He called him an evil and wicked servant, meaning you're in the house. You're of the house. He didn't call him a pagan, a Gentile. He said, you evil and wicked servant, I forgave you of everything you've ever done. Should you not have forgiven him of the thing he did? He said, that man, because of what he was doing, was in a state of separation, outer darkness, and bondage. It's a state of the soul. We read it and think he got thrown into hell. It's a state of the soul. It's torment. When you don't live in forgiveness, it's torment. When you live in unforgiveness, that's all you can see. And you're being dictated by it. And you think because you cut them off, you're winning. And you're being molded and shaped by the person you're not even forgiving. They actually should sign the name under their name under your selfie. Because if you want unforgiveness, you wouldn't be any of those things. See, I asked the Lord, I said, why do we show up? I laid on my bed and cried. You have to understand, I've pastored a long time. I've been involved with thousands of people, one-on-ones, behind closed doors, secret stuff. I mean, a lot of stuff, a lot of people, a lot of stuff. I lay on my bed and I cry and I say, why can't we forgive? Why do people have a right to not forgive in your church? Amen. Why is it so normal to be in unforgiveness, and why is the unforgiveness justified? You better be glad God isn't living in your camp of knowledge. If God had that attitude, nobody's saved. I said, why, Lord? He said, because they don't see the beauty of being forgiven. They haven't received being made clean. They still hold themselves accountable. They still have regrets. They still see themselves for their sin in their past. They haven't received brand new life. They haven't received washed, cleansed, white as snow. See, when people realize how much they're forgiven, they love much. We think it's people with bad, nasty testimonies from nasty pasts. Well, he who forgiven much, loved much. Like we had to be forgiven of a whole lot. No, he who's forgiven much, you're much forgiven. When you realize you're clean, you want to see every person clean. When you realize he never saw you dirty, he saw you as a lost son. Now you needed to repent and you were dirty. And if you didn't repent, you'd be judged for dirty. But God wasn't seeing dirty. He wasn't going, how could you go there? I can't believe. No, no, no. On my darkest day, he didn't lose sight of me and knew who he created me to be. And the words of Jesus were powerful before his throne. Forgive him, Father. He knows not what he does. And the love of God reached for me and wooed me and tackled me when I was 33. 33 years, he had a lot of years to give up. He had a lot of years to back off. He had a lot of years to change his mind, but love never fails. Why do we change our mind? Because we ain't loving God's love. We're loving our emotional feelings. And we sell them out for a little and pull them back. We yield them tentatively, pull them back. How can you hurt me if I didn't wake up for you to love me? If I woke up to be like him, we're all good.
No matter what you say, no matter what you do, you can't take this silly grin off of me. You can't keep me from him. You can't keep his presence from my life. You can't keep me from hearing his voice. You can yell at me. You can write 40-page articles. You can't stop this relationship. It's already started. And what it's taught me is the why behind life. I can't rise above my why. So if I wake up for him, we're good. If I wake up for me, I'm probably in trouble. And then life's going to speak louder than truth. That's a problem, because it's truth that makes you free, not life. Here's the world we live in. Jesus carrying the cross, done nothing wrong. We wouldn't even make it that far, people. In your life, when your good was suggested to be evil and you meant well and somebody judged it and called it evil, you freaked out to defend yourself. Be honest. I didn't mean that. That isn't what I was saying. Oh, come on. You know, I did not. Now you're bawling, crying, yelling, mad, frantically trying to defend your motive in front of everybody. It happened to Jesus every day. Every day his good was called evil. Every day. And he just kept doing good. You don't find him bummed out. You don't find him hanging back saying, people are a little on my nerves today. Peter, I need time to chill. Take James and John and the boys and just go have fun today, because I'm chilling. You don't see him carrying that cross to Golgotha, and that Barabbas thing is eating him alive, and all the strikes and the blows and the hits and the spitting and the words, and all of a sudden he just dropped the cross. I can't take it. Enough's enough. How much am I supposed to take? Come on. This is more than I expected. This is way more than I expected. Are you kidding me? All the people I healed, I raised the dead, I fed their bellies, and all they care about is themselves. They want to kill me. Nothing was made that wasn't even made through me, and they want to kill me. They are so far gone. Look, if they didn't change by now, they ain't never changing. How many more miracles can a guy do? The books of the world wouldn't even contain if they were written one by one, and they want to dare hit me after all this time and the miracles and all the goodness and kindness. I don't even know what I'm thinking. I don't even know why I cared in the first place, but I ain't dying on the cross for that. Come on. And we'd all understand. It would make a good talk show, victim villain. And we all feel bad for him, and we're all mad at the people. But it's us that did that. He just got raised up. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What's he saying? People are blind. Why is the guy put on a mic and stand here with passion and preach like I'm preaching? To help men see. So the blind say, I can see. Why? Because mercy triumphs over judgment, and love covers a multitude of sin, and love never fails. What's he saying? Come out from among them and be ye separate. Don't just pray a prayer to go to heaven. Don't serve yourself in your confession in this gospel. Bring glory to his name by following him. Not needing him, following him. Not needing him, loving him. There's a big difference between needing him and loving him. Satan told God himself to his face in the story of Job, because he's tracked men from the beginning, true? He said, Job ain't no different than nobody else. He's only blessing you because you blessed him. Take away the blessing, he'll curse you to your face like everybody else in this room. That's the devil's plea to God. You got to make sure he ain't right where you're concerned. Trouble is, he's right on most accounts on that one. And Job lost everything and didn't have much understanding and made a lot of mistakes in his speech. And some of it we've turned into theology, unfortunately. Like God gives and takes, as if God took everything from Job. We butcher that story so bad. I'll tell you what God does. He gives and he takes. He gives his son, takes away our sin. Gives his son, takes away our guilt. Gives his son, restores us as family. He doesn't give you a baby and then take your baby to test your heart. God doesn't tempt any man.
We've got some perverted theology out there. But even after Job didn't curse God, God said, did you see he hasn't cursed me? I told you he had more integrity than any other man, that he's more righteous than any man. He said, skin for skin, a man will do anything to save his own life. Coming right out of the mouth of the devil straight to God. It's a fascinating story how quick he quips because he has watched men for generations. And he's speaking out of the confidence of knowing men's hearts. Isn't that something? Man will do anything to save his own. What's the gospel say? Give your life. Don't save it. Because if you find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you'll find it. So the enemy's saying every man loves himself and he'll do anything to save his own life. So we slowly evolve into preaching messages that give us his blessing, his eternal life, and still keep what we're supposed to give. And all of a sudden, we're still full of ourselves as we're proclaiming him. Because we're hurt, discouraged, angry, frustrated, can't get along, jumping ship, hopping churches, church shopping. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. It makes no difference if we stay here all night and pray and sing, if we fail to shine. Because nobody lights a lamp and puts a basket over it, but instead on a lampstand for all to see. Church, let your light so shine before men, so they see your life lived and give glory to the Father. That sounds like image to me. That sounds like following Jesus to me. And if I can't find what I'm thinking and I can't find what I'm speaking in the life of Jesus in his mind and mouth, then I got to wonder why it's in mine and how it got there. And I ought to probably just get it out. Why? Because I'm not following us. And that's not high-minded. That's just wise. I'm following him. Yeah, but brother, everybody has their moments. No, that's why you have yours, because you believe that in your heart and you're positioned for it. And you're never letting grace have the power, the right, and the ability to change your experience. And then if you try to talk about it, it's heresy because we're so low, you know. Well, the last I read, he raised us up to sit in heavenly places with him. And the last I read, we are the body of Christ. And we can be pure, even as he is pure, walk in the light as he's walking in the light, love just as he loved. And if any man says he abides in him, ought to walk even as he walked. And he said, if you believe in me, the things I do, you'll do. Now, I don't need any more proof than that. And I'm not going to let our own petty life experience talk me out of eternal truth. And he's coming with a sword out of his mouth, word of God, and heaven and earth's going to pass away and his word's going to remain. I'm going to live this life by his word. I'm going to find grace to be saved. Yeah? Through faith. Are you with me? So it's just a good heart check, not correcting anybody. I didn't drive here to scold you, to correct you, to set you straight. They gave me a mic. I'm just telling you what I see and what I believe and how I lived the last 28 years. You can see I'm not jaded. Travel is so wearisome and churches burn you. I get in those conversations, I look cockeyed and don't even know what people are trying to say. I'm having the time of my life. Why? Because I didn't wake up for you to love me today. Or I'd be at your mercy. I'd rather be at his. See, if I woke up for you to love me, I'm only as good as you loved me. And that could make me insecure. And then that could dictate my actions and my motives even more. Now I might go out of my way and do good things just to get an accolade or a compliment. I'd rather just follow him. It's easier and way cleaner. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to pray for the sick tonight. I see the time. I'm good at blowing time on an open service. I'm real good on Sundays, I promise you. Friday and Saturday nights, a little nervous. But we do it now. It won't be too late.
We say we pray for the sick tonight. Guess why we should pray for the sick? Because Jesus paid a price on the cross to redeem and restore our lives. And everywhere you look in Scripture, New Testament, even Old Testament, forgiveness of sin and healing of the body is married. He ties it together all the time. So who believes that the blood of Jesus forgives our sins? Okay, so that's bless the Lord, O our soul, and forget not his benefits. He forgives all my sin and he what? Heals all my disease. The struggle we have is we haven't seen everybody's disease healed. And when we've prayed, we haven't seen things change. I've learned in the 28 years I've been a Christian that most Christians don't even step out and pray for the sick because they're afraid nothing will happen. And because they're afraid nothing will happen, they don't step out and pray, so they always have what they fear. So who are they protecting? And they don't want to be in that situation. I've gotten to the point where I just stop my car. I'll park my car. If I have time and somebody's hurting going up the side, I just whip in my car. They say, are you a doctor? Well, kind of, but not really. Are you a chiropractor? No, but one lives in me. He can adjust anything. And it's hard to talk about this stuff when you live that way, because then everybody gets the impression that you're the healer, you have a healing ministry, you're in the flow, and then everybody needs to get to you. And yet you're one person and the need is great. I wonder what the greater things you'll do because you believe means. That there's a whole bunch of us. I found in Mark 16, these signs shall follow those that believe. They're going to cast out devils. Most people ignore that they're real. They're going to speak in new tongues. That's a big war in the church. But they're the signs of a believer. Casting out devils and speaking in tongues. Signs of a believer, and they're big wars in the church. They're going to eat any deadly thing and it won't harm you. There's a lot of fear in the church. A lot of people eating preventative because they're subject to the world they live in, being subdued instead of subduing. It's a lot of fear. Not talking about eating healthy. Eat healthy all day, but preventative, be careful. What you're saying is, I'm in line. Wonder if you're in covenant. How can you live preventative and say you have no fear? You've given the thing power that you're trying to prevent. You be careful with that. Because my Bible says, why would he put a provision in there that if you eat any deadly thing, it won't harm you? You know what most people do? They'll read an article on natural knowledge of studies and surveys, and they'll get nervous because they see they've ingested that and eaten that, and my gosh, I've eaten that for 20 straight years. So they'll ask somebody for prayer because of the article they read. Instead of say, boy, I'm sure glad I'm in you and you're in me. What would I do if I didn't know you? I'd probably be that article. Wow, I'm so glad I'm in the world, not of the world. I'm so glad that article doesn't fit us. See, because fear subverts your authority. And you have zero authority over what you fear. You can speak at it all you want. You can turn this into principles all you want. But you lose your authority when fear enters. Are you all with me? Amen. That's why loving not your own life unto death comes in pretty handy. So even death's never your motive. But the promise of life. Are you with me? But he says, you'll take up any deadly thing or eat any deadly thing. It won't harm you. Take up serpents. Tread upon serpents, right? It says, and you will lay your hands on the, this is the believer, not a healing ministry, not a pastor, not an apostle, not a prophet. This is the sign of a believer. They will lay their hands on the, so it doesn't say they'll think about it and they might get stirred up or maybe catch a power and love conference and get motivated for a while. It says a believer will lay their hands on the sick. And the sick shall recover. So we're going to pray for the sick tonight. There's a couple things I want to talk to you about before we pray for the sick. Who's ever prayed for the sick in this room? Yeah, that's good. That's a lot of people. No, that's good. Keep praying for the sick. Why? Because that's what a believer does. I could pray for 16 people and not see anything change. They're all supposed to die and they all die. Open my Bible, it still tells me to pray for the sick. So I got a problem in a good way. I got to grow up into what I'm reading and not let my 0 for 16 be my reality, my experience, and my doctrine. Because I find my doctrine through Jesus in his life. Do you understand that Jesus played some important roles when he was here? Do you understand he was the suffering Savior and the substitute for sin? Do you understand that he drank the cup of wrath and he died on the cross so we could live in Christ, right? Do you understand that when he died, we died. When he rose, we rose with him as we believe. Do you get that? That he was the Lamb, he was the suffering Savior, but he was also the absolute revelation of the Father. Amen. So at the same time he's being the Lamb and being slain and the substitute for our sin, he's the manifestation and total revelation of the Father. Hebrews says he's the expressed image of his person and the outraying of his brightness. Colossians says he's the visible image of the invisible God. He told Philip, when you see me, you've already seen him. So when you see Jesus, now you know the Father. So you don't find God through life, you find God through Jesus. You don't find God through somebody that didn't get healed or did get healed, you find God through Jesus, and you take that God to the situation. Are you with me? See, some of us are tricked into defining God as life unfolds. And then we got a lot of analogies and phrases in the body of Christ. Like, well, you know, I don't know why God chooses not to heal. You know, sometimes he does, but sometimes he doesn't. And we say all those things to explain our situation in knowledge. But you can't find that in Jesus' life, and you can't find that language. In fact, in the church today, the last book I saw, I haven't seen one for a while, it used to be 30 reasons why men aren't healed. And then I saw one that said 33. Somebody came up with three more. But if Jesus would embrace one of those reasons, or we would embrace one of those reasons, we subvert living by faith for the rest of our life. And Jesus didn't have that manual in his back pocket. The only reason we wrote it is to explain away the experiences we've had. And our troubled hearts, and we're trying to make our hearts feel better over what we're struggling with. But if I embrace one of those reasons, I suffer faith for the rest of my life. Because any one of those reasons could maybe be right now when I'm praying for you. So if faith is belief, and belief is fully persuaded and convinced, the evidence of things not seen, the substance, the tangibility of what I'm hoping, the evidence of what I haven't seen, the evidence, the knowing. If I embrace one of those reasons, I subvert that. Now I'm driven by need. You guys with me? So the reason we pray for the sick is the life of Jesus, the finished work of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. We are totally empowered and positioned to pray for the sick. It's what believers do. So if you're not praying for the sick, say, time to be a believer. And get your hands on people. As soon as you hear, say, can I just pray for you? Hey, would you let me? You're at work. Can we just pray? I say to people all the time, I say, listen, I'm going to ask you something. Don't say no. Please don't say no. Well, what are you going to ask me? Well, don't say no, okay? Okay, what? See, you said okay. I want to pray for you. I said, don't say no. I'll pull over my car. I'll see somebody hurting. I've loved the fish. I love the hunt. That doesn't limit the gospel. I live Christ. I don't do Christ. I live Christ. I'll just walk over the boat ramp. Sir, what's going on with you, man? Looks like, oh, man. Anyway, listen, let's just pray. I don't want to hold up anybody else, but nobody's really coming right now. Won't take long. You want to what? Listen, we're fellow fishermen, man. Hurting. Jesus is king. He's Lord. He lives in me. I hope he lives in you. I look, see if I can see him in their eyes. Pray for him. See a man sitting over by the boat ramp fishing. His skin's all covered with stuff. What's going on, man? I don't mean to exploit you and embarrass you, but you're sitting here with shorts and t-shirts. I don't think you're embarrassed. What's going on? Oh, it's blah, 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 blah. Listen, I want to pray for you before I get my boat and go fish. What? Jesus loves you so much. Amen. Come on, you just pray. You just pray. Kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. I'm not caught up in wonder if it doesn't happen. Wonder if I don't pray. See, because if I don't pray, I already got what I fear. If you don't sow, what's going to grow? Ain't no farmer in the world said, Mildred, I don't know why there ain't no corn in the field. She said, well, honey, I don't remember you even disking, let alone planting. Well, I just thought it would grow. Come on, that's silly. The corn grows because he put it in the ground. You got to sow. Something's going to grow.
Let me see your hands again if you prayed for the sick in this room. Okay, now you're going to chuckle uncomfortably with me, okay? When you go to pray for the sick, who's learned this? I've learned this. When you go to pray for the sick, the thing you get the most conscious of and focused on as soon as you start to pray is what you're going to pray and how you're going to pray and what you're going to say. And you try to pray the right prayer, powerful prayer, and the most anointed prayer. You put all your focus on your prayer. Who knows I'm telling the truth when you pray for the sick? That's what happens inadvertently. And that's why we shut things down most of the time. Because it ain't your prayer that heals the sick. It's your faith in his finished work. It's your faith in his love for the people. Faith works through love and the work's complete. We're just representing and manifesting the work's complete. We believe the people are precious to God. He paid a price to forgive them, not only forgive them, but heal them. And I can show you scriptures that says if he heals them, it shows he forgave them. He flips it. Woo! So we're trying so hard to pray because we're sincere, but we're very self-conscious and focused when that's happening. And now we're even in the name of Jesus. And now four times in, you're really full of unbelief, but you sure are amplifying your prayer. Who's known that's happened to them? And you try to pray again and you pray harder and then you even pray harder and you're fighting off discouragement. So you pray even harder and you look committed and focused, but you're on the run. And you're stuck in works and you're trying to get your prayer to heal the sick instead of his finished work. Oh, anybody that's prayed for the sick knows that I'm telling the truth because that thing has happened to me. So tonight we're not going to do that. Yay. No, we're not going to do that. See, I love you guys so much. That first hour and whatever it was, wasn't a spanking. It's just calling us into what he paid for. And you couldn't confuse what I was saying. It wasn't a parable. Like it was plain speech with a lot of scripture. It wasn't a lot of other tongues. You can't say, now what was he trying to say? What was his point? See, because a message like that locates your want to. It locates your want to, and not everybody wants to become love. Everybody wants blessing. Everybody wants favor. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not everybody wants to become love. But the reason he paid the price is to become love. So a message like that locates your want to. And you leave here and say, I heard what he said and I want it, or I heard what he said, I just don't want it. But nobody leaving here tonight saying, what was he trying to say? That's just good preaching. So watch this. When you pray for the sick, you'll find two things. You'll find lots of sicknesses, different kinds, but you'll find two things. You'll find people that know they're healed if they're healed because they have symptomatic stuff. They have back trouble. They have herniated discs. They got degenerate knees. They got a rotator cuff. They can't lift their arm up. They're symptoms, right? So when you pray for people, ask them what's going on. Ask them what they can and can't do. Ask them a level of pain, something that you can monitor and check, and pray for them. Don't be afraid of it not changing. Be afraid of not praying. See, because if I pray, the kingdom's coming. It says, if I lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. You can't turn it into a hit, miss, win or lose. Oh, man. You just got to pray and believe God. I've been on the streets. I see people healed completely on the streets. I've seen people get somewhat better, and they're trying to convince me. You know, I'm a good 60%, 70% better. I'm like, okay, good. No, really? I'm like, no, I believe you. And then we'll pray again. I have other people, and this is what we're so afraid of. Nope, still in pain. That's what we're afraid of, and we see that as failure. Here's what's failure when we never get in that thing and never stay in that thing and stand there. Here's what Holy Spirit's taught me. When they say they still have pain on the street, well, listen, I so appreciate you letting me get involved and pray. I'm telling you, Jesus paid an amazing price. He loves you so much. Here's what Mark 16 says. If I lay hands on the sick believing, the sick's recovering. I'm not going to forget you. I'm going to keep thinking of you. I'm going to mention your name and thank God for his grace on your life. Today, you're checking your body up, down, up the steps. You get home. At some point, when you see that thing changing, you're going to know exactly why and who's responsible. He has loved you from the beginning. What am I doing the whole time? I'm just sowing as much seed as I can. Am I backing out? Is it a compromise? Is it a plan B? No, it's scripture. I'm going to lay hands on the sick and the sick's going to recover. See, a whole bunch of years ago, I wouldn't see a change and I'd be beating myself up. Who's ever done this? Fighting in my soul. Well, how come? Well, why? Well, I pray. And I never saw, no matter how much I grunted and groaned, I never saw it change nothing. Till I bumped into a lady that I was grunting and groaning over a month after I prayed. I'm so glad to meet you. I didn't know if I'd ever bump into you again. Do you remember me? I'm like, I probably prayed for you. Yeah, over at Walmart. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, I remember you. She cost me sleep. I prayed for a man right after I prayed for her, and he didn't change either. Now I'm striving. Now I'm frustrated. Now it's all about me again. She said, I went home. I thought it was so nice how you prayed. You just seemed so sincere, but everything was the same. I said, oh, I remember. She said, I went home. She said, I got up in the morning. I was in my bathroom before I realized it was completely gone. She said, that was weeks ago, maybe a month. I haven't had one trace of it since then. And the whole time I'm walking around, what did I do wrong? I'll tell you what I did wrong. To fail to continue to walk in the sign of a believer. You pray for the sick and they shall recover. So I'm letting go when I'm supposed to never let go. I'm representing Jesus. I'm representing the kingdom. She don't know nothing. I'm supposed to know. But I'm looking with my eyes, thinking with my mind, disconnected, making it all about me and what we didn't get and how I should pray different. Come on. I'm speaking to somebody here. Amen. What's the chance of this? Within a week later, I run into the man. I live in a pretty big town. I run into the man. He tells me the same story. I think he was healed that night. He got home and didn't have no, and never had any more. And I'm walking around thinking, two misses. Never again. I'm done with all that. You know what we teach our people at home? Don't ever let go. You release the kingdom and you rejoice in it. And never let go. So you pray for people that won't know they're healed. They have internal stuff. They have migraines that come and go. They don't have one now, but you heard them talking about it. You say, hey, can I just pray they never come back? Who knows? That's awesome. They got a blood test. You hear two ladies talking. She said, you know, I just went and had a mammogram and I had my annual pap smear, whatever them things are. And I got my stuff checked out and they told me I had this or that on my ovary. I don't even know it, but they said they were concerned. You hear that? You just tap them. You ladies can get away with this. Listen, I overheard what you said. Let's just pray. The worst they can tell you is no. But if you don't ask, you won't ever have to hear no. But you could ask and you could pray. I wonder if she goes back and they tell her, oh my gosh, we don't know what happened. But you say, well, I wonder if it don't go away. So you're not going to pray based on the risk of wonder if it don't go away, or are you going to live by faith and pray? See, we don't have a leg to stand on in this thing. Who here tonight, let's get this thing rolling so it doesn't get outlandish late. Who here tonight, if you were healed, you'd have no way of knowing because it's not symptomatic. It's internal. It's something that comes and goes, but you don't have it now. It's on a test. It's migraines, but you don't have one now. Stand to your feet if that's you. It's not symptomatic. You'll be able to stand. Come on, all over this place. Don't come this far and not. Come on, they called it a healing service. Don't not participate. Stand to your feet. You'll find this in public a lot. Who knows you'll find this? Who's heard people talk about this kind of stuff? Oh, I'm just so glad I don't have the pain today. Boy, it really hits me on a rainy day, low pressure day. I'm so glad it's a nice high pressure day. We've considered moving to another state. Who's heard people talking like this? Man, that's your cue to start sowing seed. And just tap them and say, hey, come on, stand to your feet. If I need you to stand, please. There's a reason I'm waiting. I just feel like we're just waiting for a couple holdouts. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. See why we're waiting? Seven people since I said, please stand. Why am I waiting? We got plenty of people to pray for already. Why am I waiting for those last seven? Because this is real. It ain't a joke. And I see it all the time, and he paid for this. And he wants everybody up and involved. We ain't letting no seven behind. If he leaves the 99 to get one, we'll sure go after these seven. I heard in my heart three more. Okay, I just got two. I heard in my heart three. There's three. Look at this.
So I was sure I heard three and I got seven or eight. It's your last chance. Please stand if it's you. And we're going to pray. What would it hurt to stand? You wouldn't know if you're healed. You just have to believe it. And time will tell. Is that who I have standing? Everybody that's standing, right? Because the next group is the next group. The next group's symptomatic. Do you know, since I've been standing, I had like five more people stand up. There's another one. You guys been holding out. I'm glad y'all getting it. You see why we didn't pray yet? No, you think this is the love of God, people. Whew. Now, in that next group, don't do that. If you fit that thing, get up, okay? I'm not scolding you people. I'm saying, let's just believe God and let's get involved. Somebody's sitting near them. You're sitting near them. There's a whole bunch of people together there. So if you're sitting near them, just turn around, find somebody real close to you. You don't have to get up and move all around. Just grab a hand, say, hey, I'm going to believe with you. Don't pray yet. Just connect with somebody. Don't let anybody just stand in alone. Just make contact with everybody standing. Please, please, please make contact. Okay, if you stood up for prayer, can you pay attention? This is very important. I only want you to do one thing when we pray for you. I want you to believe this in your heart. God the Father has to love me or he'd have never sent his son. That sure beats question is love when you can settle it. For God so loved the world that he gave. The measuring stick of God loving you isn't your health, not your finances, not the way your family's treating you. It's not the way life is going. The measuring stick of God loving you is Christ crucified. If that wasn't true, you could never be rooted and grounded in love and get through trials if you didn't already know. Don't give another trial an opportunity to question and test God's love. His love settled. If you stood up tonight, I'm telling you, he loves you or he'd have never sent his son. That's all I want you to believe when we pray for you, that he loves you. Or he'd have never sent his son. Okay, the people that are ready to pray, you grab them, you're touching them. Is everybody made contact, right? Here's all I want you to do. We don't even have to ask them on this round what's going on. I just need you to believe for them. Just say this. Be made whole in Jesus' name. No more sickness, no more weakness, and no more symptoms. In the name of Jesus, be completely made whole. Now, if you were just prayed for, just say this in your heart. Father, thank you for loving me and restoring me in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, we can't check that. There's no symptoms. That's just faith. Now watch. That sounds simple, but it took a lot to accomplish and make that possible through Jesus and the cross. Are you with me? Okay. Pray for everybody you bump into out there. Listen, if we all start praying for the sick, there's a man of God I respect out there for years and years and years, and he's been praying for the sick the whole time I've known him. He said this a long time ago. He said, look, we don't seem to have all the ins and outs and answers and see all the results we're always hoping for. Sometimes we feel like we've taken some tough losses. Who knows what he's saying? He said, but here's what I do know. The more people we pray for, the more things we'll see. So let's just pray for the sick. Amen? I mean, we should just be past debating over coffee all our losses and creating theology. We probably should look at Jesus and follow him. Because perfect theology is his life lived, not our background. Okay. I see some chairs. I know there's some canes and different walkers. If it's hard to stand for you, but you would like prayer tonight, but it's very hard to stand or you can't stand, before anybody moves, let me see who you are. If you want prayer and it's hard for you to stand, just wave your hand like that, dear, so people can see you. You see where she's at, guys? There's a reason we're doing this. Is there anybody else? It's hard for you to stand, okay? Okay, in this row right here, the second section in the front, there's a walker and a walker side by side. Ladies sitting behind those walkers, okay? There's a reason we're doing this. Okay, you're good. We'll find you. There's a reason. Because see, watch this. I'm not going to set you up right up until the last minute. I'm just going to tell you this. You guys that aren't standing tonight are my prayer team. So don't stand on purpose because you're scared to be my prayer team. Maybe I should have waited. Don't create something. Oh, I think I need prayer.
No, this is going to be so fun tonight. And here's the deal. If I just call you all up and line everybody up and start praying and the people that would get healed, who knows, that would be cool if somebody gets healed. But you know what I'll leave you with? That I'm anointed or I'm a person that you need to get to pray for your loved one. These signs shall follow those that... See, I've been so aggressive praying for the sick in my life that I got labeled a lot of things. I talk about it a lot from the pulpit. It's not only till recently people stopped showing up at my house. You say, well, they did it to Jesus. Well, why aren't they showing up at your house? Amen. Amen. No, I'm not being smart. I'm saying, why aren't they showing up at your house? Because they should be. Because you say you're a believer. See, I've always just been a believer. Before anybody called me a pastor, I saw a lot of healings. When they asked me to pastor, I said, nope, I'm a warehouse worker in love with Jesus. I ain't a pastor, never been to school, breezed through city schools, very uneducated, and I just love Jesus. These signs follow those that... I never pursued ministry. Was sure I'd never travel and preach. I didn't even have a good view of traveling and preaching. And I've done all the above. Why? Just trying to live my life in Jesus. And people won't leave me alone. Force me into ministry. Think I'm supposed to have prayer teams and intercession chains and prayer lines and all this stuff. And they call me a ministry. I'm just a guy that's lived his life in Christ. And nobody will leave me alone. So I'm going to back out of this thing tonight. I'm not praying for any of the sick. But I'm going to empower you, and you watch and see what God does in this room. Yeah? Amen. So we got three people. Did we miss anybody else that can't stand or would rather stay sitting? Make sure I don't miss you. Okay. Anybody? Oh, right here? Okay. There's a lady right in the last section, front bench. Wave your hand like that. People see her? Okay. Don't ever shy away from a walker, a wheelchair. I was in a service 4 weeks or so ago. I don't know. Time flies on me. A lady just got fitted for an electric wheelchair because she couldn't get out of hers, so they went electric since she's going to be in it all the time. Well, they got it one day too early. We watched her completely restored right in front of our eyes. I mean, it's just beautiful. If you're sick in your body in any way that has symptoms, and if you were healed, you would know it. I need you to stand to your feet, please, all over the house. Don't stay in your chair. Don't stay in your chair. Stand up. You have sickness in your body, anywhere in your body. And don't be afraid that standing is claiming your sickness. No, is any among you sick? Let them ask for prayer. Somehow we got the idea that asking for prayer is claiming your sickness. No, you're saying there's something in my body outside of what he created me for, and I believe he paid to heal me. So you just stand to your feet, and we'll pray. Now, these are people that if you're healed, you'll know it. Because you could check it, right? I don't want any exaggeration tonight. I don't want you to try to make the person that's praying for you feel good. Don't look at their young appearance and their big brown sincere eyes and say, I can't possibly tell them I still have pain. No, I feel good. That's called lying. I read in Revelations 19, if you lie, you fry. We don't want you frying. We want you healed. All right? Because we're not turning faith into a hit, miss, win, or lose. Now, here's the most trying place for a healing service and ministers and the people being prayed for. The fear of nothing happening. So when somebody gets prayed for and they don't feel their body changed, guess what we do? This thing just goes bonkers. Why ain't I getting healed? How come other people are healed? What am I doing wrong? I was so afraid to stand. I knew it wouldn't happen. It never happens. There's got to be something wrong. Something's got to be blocking my healing. Well, probably all the above. Tonight, we're going to pray for the sick. There's three things that happen when I personally pray for the sick, and usually when I see people pray for the sick. Everybody I know, these three things happen. Instantly healed, somewhat healed to the point where they know they're better, and nothing changes. I see all three of those in my life. That doesn't mean that's my end result, but I've seen all those things in my life. Are you with me? If you're in that first group, that's a no-brainer. Boom. Yeah, healed. You'll know. That's just a no-brainer. That's whoop, whoop, right? And we're good with that one. And we're so busy saying, well, Jesus was suddenly and immediately and all this. Well, that was Jesus. Who are we growing up into? But I'm talking to us, and sometimes we're scared to even pray for the sick because nothing might happen, and we're talking about all the scriptures, suddenlies and immediatelies. When are you going to give yourself a chance just to grow up into him, right? And start somewhere. And that's pray for the sick. So that's what we're doing tonight. So if you're instantly healed, that's a no-brainer. If you're somewhat healed, you just tell your person that prayed for you, say, hey, I'm 50% better. I'm 30% better. I'm 80% better. Just tell them. And then thank God for that and pray for complete and finished work. Okay? If your body doesn't change at all, you just tell your person, listen, nothing changed. Just speak that over me one more time. I'll speak it over. You say, why? Well, a blind man, he said, I see men as trees. Jesus prayed again and said, what do you see? I see men as they are. Even Jesus prayed for a blind man twice. So here's the deal. We're not going to pray to God to heal. Tonight, we're going to tell sickness to leave. And I'm going to explain it. Matthew 17 says, faith will say to the mountain, concerning sickness, talking about the epileptic boy. They said, why couldn't we heal the boy? He said, because of your unbelief or your little faith. He wasn't being rude, like spirit-filled movement can be rude with each other. Like, well, you just didn't have no faith. No, what he's really saying is, you just don't see what I see. But truly, I tell you this, if you have faith, you'll say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will what? Calling epilepsy the mountain. Calling sickness the mountain. If you have faith, you'll say to the mountain. Watch. Rotator cuff, you'll be completely restored. No more pain. Total rotation in Jesus' name. Knees, completely restored. No bone on bone. No biting, no hurting. In Jesus' name, whole. Back, you'll be completely made whole. Hips, no more pain in Jesus' name. What are you doing? You're saying to the mountain. And guess what the mountain does? He said, truly, I tell you this, if you have faith, you will say to the, not to God, please, Lord, come and heal. That's how a lot of people pray for the sick. You'll pray, you'll say to the, move, and what's the mountain going to do? And nothing shall be impossible for, he didn't say God, he said you. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty unlimited, unhinged promise. I'm going to take it. That's why I pull over my car. That's why I pray for the sick. Because he said, if I have faith, I'll say to the mountain, move. I'm going to tell mountains to start moving. And you know what? Some of them just say, yes, sir. Some of them kind of halfway move. Well, what's up with that? We're growing into him. I don't let any of that teach me theology. I just let it teach me I need more of him. And I'm a work in progress, and I'm growing up into him. Paul said, I don't know him like I could yet, but I'm going to. I haven't apprehended, but I'm coming. We hold Paul up like he's the standard. Paul said, no, I haven't arrived, but I'm getting there. Jesus is the standard. Are you with me? So lift a hand up if you're standing. We got the couple walkers. I got the lady in the middle aisle back there. And I got the lady on the corner over here. I think she has a walker. Yes, she has a scooter there. Lift your hand up, one hand. Just lift one hand up and leave it up in the air if you're standing for prayer, please. Lift one hand up. Lift it up. This is just to locate you, to know where you're at. The people sitting. Now, if you look around, it's half and half. It's going to be tight, all right? I really need your help. If you're nervous, please participate. That's exciting. Because you will not rely on your own prayer life and ability. I want you on my team if you're nervous. Go grab somebody. Maybe somebody you've never met or don't even know. Just smile and say, I've never done this. Don't pray yet. Don't anybody pray yet. Just go find somebody. Put your hand down if they found you. If somebody has you, put your hand down. I only want your hand up if you're waiting. Look around, hands that are up. You people that are moving around, my people that were sitting, grab somebody with a hand up. Put your hand down if somebody claimed you. Don't leave it up. Put it down. If you have somebody and they have their hand up, tell them to put it down. I only want hands up that were waiting to connect. Oh, I got a lady right here in the middle. She's waiting for someone that's filled with Jesus. Oh, there's a lady coming. She's definitely filled with Jesus. Hey, are you waiting for somebody, sir? Is this guy waiting or are you praying? Oh, you're just ready to pray. Yeah? Oh, you're praying for her. Got you, man. He's like, I was ready to send somebody for you. Do we have everybody covered that quick? Oh, you guys are amazing. What? right here? Are you coming?
Attaboy. We sent you a man of God. We saved the best for last. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Hey, this is going to be so fun. Watch. This is for you. I love you guys so much. Watch. I'm only going to give you like 5 or 6 seconds to pray. See? So you can't mess up. You can't get self-conscious. Like, I won't give you enough time to get into works. So take 3 seconds and tell your person what you stood up for. Just give them the 3-second version. Let them know what the mountain's been. Just give them the 3-second version. 3-second version. Got arthritis pains, got degenerate knees, got a herniated disc, got back issues. You should have it, yeah? Y'all ready? My hips, my ankle. Everybody good? Come on back up. Look up this way if you got it. Everybody got it? Okay, so we took 3 seconds to know what the mountain is, so now we know what to speak at. So watch. The reason I'm only going to give you 5 or 6 seconds, I want you to do something like this. Hip, you be completely healed with no more pain in Jesus' name. Who knows that we can actually speak to the mountain, be sincere, and believe God loves the person and that the finished work of Christ is enough, and do that and believe that in 5 seconds or less? Who sees it's that simple? Who sees you don't have to produce anything, just believe something called the finished work? You see how simple? This is like exciting. Like arthritis, you leave. No more pain in Jesus' name. Who knows you can say to that mountain and do that in 5 seconds or less and be in total faith and believe God loves that person? See, you don't have to produce it. You believe what was already done. You get it? Now, who knows we can do this? So after we pray the 5 or 6 seconds, I'm going to say, okay, guys, wrap it up. Here, listen carefully. Don't pray yet. We're going to do this together. You guys are chomping at the bit. Sometimes I take long and Holy Spirit gets tired of waiting on me. People testify. They say, I was healed while you were still talking. I'm like, oh. So I'm trying to hurry. But I want you to learn. This is teaching so we can continue to live this way. This isn't just to see who's healed. This is how I'm going to live. Are you with me? So after 5 or 6 seconds, I'll say, wrap it up, guys. That's awesome. In the name of Jesus. Amen? The people that are being prayed for, what's the one thing you're doing? I believe you love me, or you'd have never sent your son. You'd have never crucified him if you didn't love me. So believe he loves you, because we're believing he does. Amen? And after you're believing that and they pray 5, 6 seconds, I want you to sincerely, without exaggeration. That's why we didn't turn any music on. I didn't ask for no worship. You guys have an amazing worship team, by the way. And they would have made things much better. Maybe too easy, right? So you don't have that in Walmart parking lot. Sometimes you just have your feelings and them rolling their eyes. And you better believe you don't have them. So right after we pray, I say stop, wrap it up, name of Jesus. You love me or you never put your son on that cross. Thank you for loving me. When they say amen, you affirm he loves you. And then I want you to sincerely, whatever that means, thoroughly check your bodies. Okay? I don't want rash and quick, whoa, yeah. And then later say, well, you know, it was just somewhat healed, so I got excited. I want you to check your body. Some of you have learned to live protected. I'm not telling you to do physical therapy and calisthenics. I'm saying start checking that thing you've been protecting and show yourself whether it's changed or not. Let grace tell you if it is. I'm not telling you to keep stretching till something pops. If you couldn't bend over and you can't bend over, don't go and call that faith. Just tell them, no, I can't bend yet. I'm trying, but it's not happening. Can you pray one more time? And then you speak to the mountain and say the same thing you said the first time, because you're not grabbing for straws. But if you go to bend over and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wow. That's grace. Are you with me? So I want you to check your bodies. I'm going to give you time to check your bodies. I'll orchestrate a little and I'll start asking, okay, who's healed in the room? When you're healed in the room, I need you to just go like this and let me know. We'll acknowledge who's being healed, meaning healed. At some point, we'll take 1, 2, 3 testimonies. We'll see a couple. If you're somewhat changed, tell your person somewhat changed. Give them the percentage. Thank God for that. And just complete work in Jesus' name. 5 more seconds. You with me? If nothing changed, just tell them, listen, it's still there like it was. Would you just pray and agree with me one more time and speak to that thing one more time? After the second time, about that time, we'll be doing a testimony or two. Here's what I want you to do. Watch this. It'll happen all over the room. I don't want anybody signing off or letting go. Do you know what I mean? After all I've taught, I want you to believe he's a healer. Listen to a few testimonies. Stay thankful. Don't sign off. Listen to a few testimonies and thank God he's a healer. Appreciate what he did in that person that testified. And then thank him for loving you and check your body again. Third testimony in, same thing, check your body. Here's what I see. Because he's teaching us what it means to believe and keep on believing, it'll be like popcorn in a bag. And you get a couple kernels, doom, 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 and then doom, 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 doom. It's just fun. Because if we're not taught this and we jump ship, we just might stop the room. But if we stay on board, oh, the captain's here. Yeah? And he's of our salvation, the captain of our salvation. And salvation means healed, delivered, protected, preserved. So I hope you all get healed. I hope nobody snuck in and got healed before I finished. But no, it's all good. I see people checking bodies and I'm like, oh, I got to hurry. It's a little late, later than I wanted it to get, but we came this far. Let's go all the way. Are you ready? You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? Look at your person like they're really special. Like, just give them eyes like they are worth the blood of Jesus. Are you ready? Are you all ready? 5 to 6 seconds. It's not the power of your prayer. It's what you believe about his love for them and speak to the mountain. Are you ready? I'm not going to say anything. It's going to be hard. For 5, 6 seconds, I'm going to be quiet. Are you ready? Give your person the kingdom. Yeah. That's really, really good. I gave you about 10 seconds just because I got a drink. Okay, wrap that up, guys. Yep, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Believe he loves you right now. Believe he loves you or he'd have never sent his son. Start checking your bodies all over the room. All over the room. Check your bodies. If you know you're healed, I need to see you if you know you're healed. At some point when you find out, make sure you know. You know you're healed? For sure? Good. That's beautiful. Yeah? Good. Great. Check your bodies. Just remember, we're just starting. We ain't quitting. We're just starting. We got a couple people already healed. We're going to learn what faith is. Anybody else know they're healed? Let me see you. Anybody else? Yeah, for sure. You know it for sure. Good. For sure? Yeah? How do you know? Okay. I'm going to hear from you in a second when it's, yeah, we'll probably get you a mic. Check your bodies, everybody. Check your bodies. Is there anybody else as you're checking being changed and healed? Because I know some of you prayed again if you followed the instruction. Or pray that second time. Speak to that mountain. Okay, that's good. That's good. Now let's just do this together. Okay, everybody stop praying for a second. Just stop praying for a second. Check your bodies thoroughly one more time. Anybody else that didn't raise their hand yet that knows they're being healed or like they were just healed? That just happened? That just happened? Good. No, that's beautiful. No, it's just going to keep happening. Anybody else? Anybody else? You just got healed? Did it just go away completely? That last time when they prayed, it just left?
Beautiful. You good? Yeah, you've been checking. I've been seeing you diligently checking. Anybody else? There's three people that just said, yeah, I just changed. My body's healed. Anybody else? Anybody else? You? Yeah, for sure. Beautiful. Yeah? Did it just change? Just now. And you know it for sure. Yeah, you're all excited. Yeah? What's going on? Did that just change?
I couldn't touch my toes.
You couldn't even touch your toes?
I couldn't tie my shoes standing up or nothing.
Wait, whoa. You couldn't tie your shoes?
Not standing up.
You couldn't bend over and just tie your shoes?
No.
You couldn't possibly touch your toes?
Uh-uh.
Let me see you. No pain?
No.
No pain.
No pain.
Who else is being healed and you didn't raise your hand yet? You just got healed? None in all those areas. Was it always pain there if you looked for it? He's going to get you a mic. Bill's going to get you a mic. Let me ask you this. No pain anymore in your knee?
No pain.
You're starting to cry now. This is real to you. See, it's her body, guys. Don't ever get familiar with this stuff. When you live with it and know it's your body and all of a sudden it ain't there. So it was 24/7 or you could find it if you looked for it.
No, it was 24/7. I had to use a cane for years.
Put it right up.
I had to use a cane for years. And,
for years.
And just...
How long has your body been hurting like this?
Oh, for years.
Years. You don't years. Even aren't even sure.
About maybe six, four.
Is there a six. Day when you have no pain? Never.
No.
You have none right now.
I have no pain.
Zero.
No pain, no inflammation.
Jesus!
I have to share, just real
She's
quick.
She's going to say something.
I just have to share real quick. Years ago, God, this is my church, and one of the worship services, God showed, my husband even wanted me to go on disability, and I kept saying, no, I just don't feel I'm supposed to. During a worship service on a Sunday, he showed me the arthritis being shaved off my knees.
Yeah.
And that was years ago, and I just kept that. I just kept clinging to that.
I think
then,
you just got that shaved tonight.
Yeah. Amen. And then in January, people prayed for me. They said, we had a worship service where one of the pastors had said, if something's bothering you, put your hand on it and just speak the name of Jesus. So I did. And then this little lady prayed for me. And then on the way to work, I was just reflecting and I said, God, am I standing in the way of my healing? And I didn't hear, well, yeah, but I had a peace. And I said, okay, God, I'm not using my cane. I'm going to leave my cane in the car. Well, then I had the thought, I have a cane in my office to use as a backup. And then immediately I'm like, no, there is no plan B with you, God. So I have not used my cane and I have not
used
anything.
You just been walking around, but you were still hurting?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you
but
hear
you know
that?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing my God couldn't handle. Woo!
But you have nothing in your body right now. So beautiful. So what she's saying is she started to go after it by faith, put the cane aside and kept walking, but she still had the pain tonight. Boom. Did it just leave you just now or when they first prayed? About the third time in? Yeah, second time in? Great. See, it's beautiful. Anybody else? Your body changed since she's been testifying or you're checking? Anybody else? Any new hand that I didn't see raised yet? Anybody? How about another? Let me see a testimony. Who else was healed that you know you're healed? You know you were healed. Is she... Did you just get healed? Did you just realize it just now? Yeah, no, that's beautiful. No, this is going to keep happening. We're like, I know it's 9:36. If you can hang out, this is just starting to happen.
My job is almost my hands.
Yeah.
And everything on my back because I work home healthcare and it's difficult. But I feel so released. Thank you, Jesus.
So you have no pain? No pain? Would you normally have pain if you checked? You would normally find pain and stiffness or just, how's your strength? Check it. Yeah, would they tend to feel weak?
Check.
I feel like there's strength coming in. Do you feel strength?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. So you're going to do your job more. You're going to get to really know when you're doing your...
Thank you,
Jesus. But you're going to have to lift people and stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing. Say, that just happened. That just happened when we were talking. She was like, oh. So keep checking your bodies. Can I have another testimony? Who was healed and wants to share a testimony? Who was healed? There was other people saying they were healed. Right here, I got a guy in the back. I could put you to work, Bill. He's excited. He's excited. No, right here. Do this lady right here. Who else? Were you? Right here? Yeah, do her since you're right here, and then we'll go back and get him.
Yeah, he prayed for me first, and wasn't loose. It was my back.
Uh-huh.
And he prayed. I have TMJ.
So okay.
My jaws. And then the second time, it was looser. And then the third time, it's gone.
Completely gone.
Yeah.
The back? What about the jaw?
I don't feel any pain now, but it's usually when I wake up in the morning.
Okay, so that'll be more of a test in the morning, right?
Yeah.
So when you go to bed tonight, here, watch. Commune with the Lord. Talk to him. Everybody do this all the time. Father, you love me so much. It's amazing.
Yes.
What you did in my back is incredible. And what you've done in my jaws, I thank you. My sleep will be amazing. And when I wake up, that thing is no more because you love me.
Yes.
Talk to him like that. That's not just try to get prayer from each other to get God to move. Commune with him. Talk to him.
Yes.
Talk to him tonight before you go to bed and watch how you wake up. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. And there's a man back in the back. He seemed excited. We're going to get to him. He is excited. I can tell.
You actually have no idea how excited this man is.
Stay engaged, people. Don't let the time come on. It's Friday night. With it, Jesus is healing bodies. We need to, like, be okay.
I've had an issue with my right knee for probably the last year and a half. I tore a meniscus, and I was putting it off. And I could barely bend my knee for the last month.
Wow.
Doing some things that I shouldn't be doing, but it was all swelled up. I was in the kitchen this morning, and I couldn't even kneel down.
Just this morning,
yep. I couldn't kneel. I could barely walk. And when you mentioned the fact that he went to the cross for me and to heal my sins, I never interpreted that prayer. And I always thought to separate your mind from your heart and keep your faith. So while you were talking, Vav comes over to me, and I believed, and my knee popped.
Oh, my goodness.
And I bent down.
And you bent it?
And I did it again. And I got back up. And I did it again. And I got back up. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo! Yeah. You guys that aren't 100% or nothing seemed to change yet, just check your bodies for me right now and thank God he's a healer. Just thank God he's a healer and check your bodies. Let's see what changes right now in the moment. Anybody change in the last couple minutes? Anybody get completely whole in the last couple minutes? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You? You just changed? Oh, she did? Yeah? What's the situation? What were you believing for? Did nothing change the whole time?
Progressively.
Okay, so it was getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So over the past maybe month and a half, she's been having this clicking in her jaw. And it's amazing because she just over there was talking about feeling in her jaw. And it was hurting her really bad. And she was having a lot of pain. And I knew it was an attack from the enemy trying to come after her. She loves to sing praises unto the Lord. So I just knew when that started to happen, I said, okay, devil, here we go again. So I'm always, you know, telling the devil he has to go in Jesus' name and plead in the blood of Jesus over my baby. But I was going to take her to the doctor, and everybody's like, oh, you need to take her to the doctor. And I was like, I'm going to take her to Jesus first, and I'm going to keep taking her to Jesus. And today it was bothering her really bad. And when she was sleeping, when she should get up, it was causing her a lot of pain. And I said, it's all right, because we're going to keep on praying, and we're going to be amongst others that are praying as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's going to come to pass. And as I was praying, I commanded it to go in Jesus' name as I had been. And progressively, it just started going lighter and lighter and lighter, the popping. And it was very, very loud.
Oh, you could actually
you could
hear
feel it.
Did you feel it?
You could feel it.
Did you feel it popping?
Everything.
You did feel it popping?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden she's like, I can't feel it anymore. It's gone. You want to tell him? She don't want to say anything.
You can't see her.
Tell him Jesus' name.
But she's checking her mouth.
Like,
and she said she really felt it popping. So you felt it popping.
Yeah, and you could feel it.
You're an open and wide, no pain, no problems. Yeah? Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
No, that's beautiful. Anybody else? Anybody else's body changing since we're talking and testifying? Did your body just change? Just now? But in the last few minutes? Yeah? How about you back there? Last few minutes? Yeah? Who else? You too? Oh, this is good. Watch. Do you guys see why we never let go? Now wonder if we let go when things didn't change and said, well, you know, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Oh, in his perfect time, when he's good and ready, he'll hear all the stuff that I hear us say. When I say us, just Christians, that has nothing to do with faith. You see what happens when you tell people don't ever let go. That's just stay on right now and let's watch and see. Watch. How many people that said they were healed tonight, you weren't healed instantly, but as we kept praying and believing and testifying, you got healed after the initial time. Go like this if you were healed after the initial time. Look, we got people back there I didn't even know raised their hands. So were you guys recently or earlier? Earlier. Okay, I just missed you. How about you? Earlier? Just now? You just now got healed? Good. How about the man right there in the second row back there in the last section? How long ago? Just a few minutes. See? Do you see what he's teaching us? See, I'm teaching this out, and he's firsthand teaching us don't ever let go. Faith is believe and keep on believing and never let go. Who's testifying? Who just... Yeah, the lady right here. Let's find out what happened.
For a long while, I don't even know how long, by the end of the day, I feel
hold it right up there so they can hear
I feel like the top of my feet or like the bones are fractured. It's so painful to even just be on my feet.
Towards the end of the day.
Yeah.
So that would be now.
That would be now. The pain's gone. All I feel is like a little bit of tingling. That's it. But the actual pain of like the bones feeling like they're broken is gone.
And you're standing, you're putting
I'm standing
weight,
and
pressure,
I'm, I keep
checking.
Wiggling my feet almost waiting for it to come back.
Yeah, no.
Probably isn't good.
No, but that's because it's been your reality. You've been living and feeling it and it's like it's gone.
For so long.
So it's definitely gone. You don't know how long it's been like that?
At least months.
Okay.
If not longer.
It's completely gone.
It's gone.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Right here? Did she just get healed? Just now. Oh, like just now while she's testifying, her body changed. Popcorn in a bag. What's going on?
Well, I had a bus.
Hold it right up there so everybody can hear you, the mic.
I was a bus driver and I injured my hip and I've been in physical therapy since April. And I haven't been able to walk without a limp and a lot of pain. So I was standing here and I stood up and I was feeling a little better and I said, I have to go out there and walk to see if I don't limp. And I don't limp.
You're not limping at all? You feel good. No pain. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No, this is just beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. So for the sake of time, because I don't really get tired and I don't sleep much, so I could stay here all night and be like this and freak you out maybe. But for the sake of time, let's do this. Who here, you're here. Oh, how about some of the walkers, some of the scooter stuff? Did anybody get touched or changed in any way? Is anybody, what happened to you, ma'am? Find out, Bill, because she raised her hand actually very early. I just remembered that.
Before I came... I was picked up by Kathy Barnes, and I was wheezing like a freight train at home, and I'm not wheezing.
Okay, so that's gone.
Yes.
Was that from a certain condition? Is that something that's...
Asthmatic.
So you have that hit you like that? At times?
A couple weeks ago, I had a coughing spell and asthma, and I had x-rays for my back and my chest. And blood work done, and they said everything was fine. But I continued to wheeze really bad.
Okay.
And I mean, from walking from here to the bathroom, even with a walker, I got out of breath.
It would do it.
When she came to pick me up, I was out of breath.
So that left, is that going? Yes. You feel stronger in your breath?
Yes. And,
okay.
My
what
back
about in your
feels,
body for the like the reason you have the walker? What are we
believing? The walker is I had surgery years ago, and my disc from 2 to 5 I had operated on.
Okay.
And they bulged since that was in 2009.
Oh, okay.
And it's just gotten worse. I was good at first, but then it kept getting worse.
Does that hurt all the time? Is it just immobility? Is it pain? What is it?
The pain never goes, but it left.
Oh, you don't have that pain?
Right now, no.
Do you feel any better motion-wise?
Yeah.
Because don't let fusions, hey, listen, in my life, you don't have to believe this. I've seen fusions where people bent. I've seen a lady that had 2 titanium steel rods and she's touching the ground.
Amen.
So a man that was born with a hip dysfunction thing, a congenital thing from birth, he never put his fingers past his knees in his whole 40-year life because he was born with a condition. And then he got 3 fusions, which if I'm right is 6 vertebrae. Right? 3 fusions is 6 vertebrae. So that washboarded him. And I was standing in a service. He's telling the story. At the end of a healing service, I said, sir, did you receive prayer? Oh, well, no. I mean, I've never been past my knees, and I had the 3 fusions now. I'm just receiving the grace of God to keep on going. But we didn't even pray for you? He said, no. I guess 2 guys would pray for him. We watched him touch the floor. For the first time in 40 years, he has 3 fusions, and he was born with a condition and never went past here. We're watching him touch the floor. He wouldn't come back up. He's a pastor. He's down on the floor. And his wife's going, whoa! It was so dramatic. And I'm like, he never even asked for prayer because it's been his whole life. And Jesus went and fixed it. Come on, guys. See what I just did? We say we believe he breathed into dirt and a man stood up. We say we believe that. Yeah. Well, then why can't he fix anything? So your body feels better?
Yes.
Okay. How about anybody else in chairs, scooters, that asked for prayer? Ma'am, did anything feel different? Be honest. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Just talk to us. Okay. What are we believing for? MS. Okay.
And I have back issues, so I'm just working it out.
Okay.
Because I believe that Jesus loves me and yeah, he healed does. Me.
He does. Are you feeling any changes, any strength, any mobility, any difference?
No change.
Okay. So this is my question. Who here, we prayed for you. We've been testifying. People are raising their hands and continue to testify. Things are changing as we talk. But as of right now, we prayed for you, but nothing seems to have changed in your situation. I just need to see the lady in the walker. Stand to your feet if that's you. Please stand to your feet. Nothing's changed yet. This is very important. Because when we're Christian, we always need to address this. A lot of healing services, they don't address this. And then people leave and go, I wonder why I didn't get healed. I believe those things were legitimate, but here I am. And it can create this, right? A Christian has one response. God, you're good. You love me and you're doing a work and I appreciate it. Period. You live there. You stay there. Okay. But now watch this. We're going to do this and then we'll close it out. I need the people to stand that nothing changed as of yet. I got y'all standing. Look around. Is your person that prayed for you still here? Because we're not getting you another person. Your person is plenty. Put your hand up until they come and get you and see you. Go look and see if that's your person. Go get them. Go claim them. Go get your person. Is everybody's person still here? Because I know some people slipped out. Do you have your person? Is there anybody unattended? You're waiting still for your person. Help me out. You got her? You're going to stand with her? Are you all ready? Now here, this is key. This is more important than you might realize. I want you to pray 5 or 6 more seconds, but watch this. Don't change your prayer. Speak the same, pretty much that same thing over. You don't have to quote, but I would quote it if you know what you prayed. Pray the same thing. Don't grab for straws. Don't get creative. The first thing you prayed is enough, because his finished work is enough. I want you to pray that same thing over him right now, and let's see what changes in the room. I believe Holy Spirit's going to teach us something beautiful. Go ahead. 5-6 seconds. Speak over him right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. That's good. Bring that to a close. Believe he loves you. You're not doing anything wrong. You're believing he loves you. There's nothing blocking your healing. You're believing he loves you. We lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Okay, that's good. Everybody should be finished praying now. Wrap it up. Name of Jesus. Now, just that group that's standing that we prayed for, just that group, start checking your bodies. Has anything in that last group changed for anyone? As soon as you find out, let me know. I got to have to go like this so I can spot you. Anything changing in that last group? Check it good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Anything in that last group changing? Changing somewhat? Just a little bit? What? She's smelling? She couldn't smell? Oh, wow. Is your eyes closed? Okay. Close your eyes. Do you have perfume on your wrist or something?
She does.
Okay. Well, close your eyes and then pull it away. Pull it away. Keep your eyes really tight and then put it up there whenever you feel like it. And then you tell her when.
Sorry, I touched it.
Is it? Yeah? So you're definitely smelling.
Yeah.
And you couldn't smell at all?
Since January of 22.
Since January of 22, is that a COVID thing?
It is.
You're smelling now? Who has something that has smell and scent? I don't, like breath mint cup, something like that. Find something and you keep your eyes closed when they bring it. Somebody that has something that obviously smells that she can maybe identify. Yeah, she's coming. Somebody else coming? I want a couple things. Keep your eyes really closed. Can you tell what you're smelling there?
Perfumey.
Keep going.
Is it peppermint?
Yes.
Yeah, she called it? Woo! Keep your eyes closed. I just want to have fun with this. Who else? Look, they're having fun. Keep your eyes closed.
Is it anointing oil?
Yes.
She has smelled nothing since January of 22 because of COVID. She's telling everybody what they're putting under her nose. Peppermint, anointing oil. Eyes closed, smelling it all. Bam!
Is it vanilla?
Now watch this, guys. Watch this. All that time we prayed and testified, and she's standing there believing. That's what makes us draw conclusions, because of the way that seems right. Man intellectualizes, has to figure that out, right? And then say, well, you know, if God really went here by now, she's maybe blah, blah, blah. And we just have to say something to explain. But the whole time, he's a yes and an amen. And now we prayed after all that time. Wonder if we let go 10 minutes ago. Wonder if we'd have changed our mind 15 minutes ago. But we prayed one more time and this lady's smelling. How powerful is that? So when do you ever let go? That's so good. I'm happy. Anybody else in my last group changing at all? You? Somewhat? Somewhat or all the way? All the way?
Yeah.
And you had nothing up until that last time.
I have three operations in my shoulders.
Three operations.
And then when I put my hands up, I cannot put them straight and they hurt.
You couldn't do that?
Yes.
You couldn't do that without pain?
No.
Could you even do that? You have no pain. I can tell how easy you did that.
Praise the Lord.
You had three operations. That would have been hard. And you would have had pain.
Yes. And I know Jesus healed, because I was 22. I was suicidal. And he healed me from depression. And
yeah,
I have a herniated disc. And they were supposed to operate me. And then I want a second opinion. And I went in church and prayed. and they pray for me, and I feel the heat.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
And they were healed. And no,
but tonight, he healed your shoulders
amen.
Right there.
Amen.
And all that time, we were standing, praying, and believing, and bam, she changed, she changed, she changed. Anybody else? You changed? That last time? That was, she was in that group, the last group? Oh my goodness, talk to me.
I'm type 1 diabetic since I was 10 years old.
Okay.
And I have terrible eyesight.
Okay.
I can't see in the dark, and my eyesight has been leaving me.
Right. She's saying she had diabetes since she was 10 and it affected her eyes really bad.
Yeah. And now I'm beginning to see better.
You can see different? You can see better?
I'm seeing better.
Okay.
Not totally.
No, but you notice change.
I've noticed the change.
Is it obvious change to you?
Yeah.
It's noticeable change.
Yeah, it's noticeable.
Enough to acknowledge. Okay.
Yeah.
How about, do you have neuropathy or any other?
I have neuropathy and stage five kidney failure.
Do you feel any change in the neuropathy situation? Or does it seem the same?
It's about the same.
Okay. Guys, stretch your hands to her, please. Father, we just thank you for wholeness in her life. You're the one that made kidneys. You're the one that put them inside of people. And they were made to work. Kidneys, in the authority of Jesus' name, you work. You work. Pancreas, you work. In the authority of Jesus' name, you produce the proper insulins. Father, I thank you. Blood sugars, normal levels, the way you intended man to be from the beginning. God, I thank you is the way her body is found. Neuropathy, you leave her. And all the damage of diabetes since age 10, you be swallowed up and removed by the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for touching her in a powerful and beautiful way. Eyes continue to be strong and see. We bless you, sister. And we say, be made whole in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Amen. Anybody else across this room? That last group. Somewhat or all the way? Okay. Do you realize this is all the last group where nothing had changed until we just prayed those last 5-6 seconds? What would happen if we let go? Oh, go ahead.
It was my right knee. At first I felt a little bit, and now it's just getting better and better, and it's almost like all gone.
It's like it's almost completely almost gone. Check it right now for me. Is it just a wee little bit there?
Tiny, tiny bit.
Maybe you check it one more time.
It feels squishy, like I can feel the...
Yeah, I just feel like you're being completely healed. Yeah. Just check it for me.
I can feel that, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. God, you're good. You like this, Bill, don't you? What are we
Love
doing?
It. Love it, Pastor.
Huh?
I've had what's called blepharospasms. It's neurological, and I can't control my upper eyelids, and it's been 6 years. And I have to keep getting injections. And I'm like 70%, 75% better. My eyes are open, and I can't stand these lights on Sundays. So, yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, and I thank the Lord, and I know he loves me, and I know...
So based on the symptoms and the way it's been for you for a long time...
Yeah, I've been...
You feel 75% change.
Yeah.
To the good.
To the good.
Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We acknowledge it, and we just believe you're 100% work in her life. Spirit, soul, body, blameless till you come. Thank you for the 100%. We appreciate your love for us, God. Thank you for touching our sister in Jesus' name. Guys, this is awesome stuff. Don't ever get like bored with this stuff. Anybody else change in that last group? I know it's super late. To some it is. I'm just waking up, but I'm sorry. Anybody else in my last group change? Anybody? Here's what we're going to do to close. Whether you were completely healed, somewhat changed, or didn't feel any change, watch. Christian has one response. The greatest thing you can do is leave here tonight and go get personal with him before bed, on the way home, but especially before bed. Watch this. As you go to bed, get alone, get in a room. Even if you're married, whatever, just break away for a little and just do this. Father, I so appreciate faith over me tonight, love, people, the person that's still with me. I just agree. You love me. You're just that good. And you're doing a work in my body. Thank you for making me whole. And you go to bed thankful, not questioning. Go to bed appreciative, not discouraged. And wake up and commune with him in the morning. And don't hesitate to check your body. You say, wonder if it didn't change. Watch. God, you're so good to me. Thank you for what you're doing in me. I so appreciate your love for me. I can't find one scripture where we stop believing. I can't find one scripture where time has the permission to change truth. Are you all with me? Stand to your feet with me. We're going to do something in closing. It's not outrageous. If your body was completely healed or noticeably healed or somewhat healed tonight, if you're all still here at one time, just to encourage this room, do like this, all at the same time. If you know your body was healed or somewhat healed, all at the same time. Look around, guys. That's you guys believing as believers. Come on, that's amazing. We only took a few testimonies. That's a lot of people. Yeah? Yeah. The group that said nothing changed yet, that doesn't exclude you, you're not focused on, don't you think about it, you go like this. With the heart a man believes. Don't get heady, get hearty. And go home and be in communion with God. Would you do this with me? It doesn't mean you're charismatic or Pentecostal. It just means you're yielded and surrendered. Would you lift your hands to heaven, please? Would you? Would you just lift your hands and acknowledge him by lifting holy hands to God in a yielded, surrendered, honorable way? And that's just from your heart. Thank God for who he is, for what he's done, for the message tonight that we're going to live surrendered. We're going to be Christians for the right reason and bring glory to his name. We're not going to be afraid to believe and pray for the sick. God, you've been teaching us all night, and you really taught us here at the end on healing. People just boom, boom at the end, and people that hadn't even been changed that whole time, and all of a sudden, boom, they're changed. God, you are just waiting to move. It could be right around the corner. When should we ever let go when it's right around the corner? Lord God, we are not going to dig a seed out of the ground that's sprouting. We're going to leave it in there and watch it break that ground. So, Father, with hands raised, we thank you. We honor you. And I personally ask you to continue to let these words tonight grow in this house and be a manifestation of Christ. Let this house be more encouraged than ever to pray for the sick and never be afraid to believe you according to your word. We honor you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you. Somebody want to close? Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Love you guys. Bless.